Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
And welcome once again to Southern Gospel News Podcast, Darren Sutherland. And I'm flying solo today. Well, not really. We got a guest coming on in just a second. But Arthur's not with me, but this guy's really not a guest. He's almost like a fill-in co-host, but at the same time, he's one of the smartest guys in all of gospel music. Jeff Turner, a historian for SGNP, is going to be with us. And Jeff and I talk probably on a weekly basis about gospel music and everything else. And, Lord, I started the show with a piece of taffy in my mouth, of all things. So if it sounds like I'm chewing on something, I may be. But, hey, thanks again for listening to Southern Gospel News Podcast. You can check us out online at southerngospelnewspodcast.com, or you can go to our Facebook page where over 16,000 of your dearest friends have joined. Let me swallow this thing or get it on the roof of my mouth or something. But that's Southern Gospel News Podcast on Facebook. My mother would be so mad at me if she heard this, and my grandmother would probably smack my jaws for chewing a piece of taffy and talking to you at the same time. But anyway, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Jeff Turner on SGNP.
Then I'll see the great King in his beauty.
SGNP, Darren Sutherland, and my co-host today, sitting in, the historian, the one and the only Jeff Turner. Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Darren. Good to be back. Haven't been on in a while, so it's
I know good to be it, man. Back. It's my fault, you know. And I, Jeff, you bring such a great brand of knowledge to the show that we need to have you on here more often. We're going to tell a little secret on you today, if that's okay. If not, I'll keep that quiet too. But hey, today we're going to talk about records. Gospel music records. And I got a stack of them. I mean, I literally got a stack of them sitting here in front of me that was given to me that we're giving away, if you've noticed, on Southern Gospel News Podcast. Just giving away one a day. And today's day five of a 20-day giveaway. And we've been giving away some pretty good records, have we not, Jeff?
Absolutely. And they say, you know, vinyl's coming back, so.
Well, you know, these will bless somebody. And, I mean, we've given everything from the Blackwood Brothers Hymns album, which was their first LP, correct?
Yes, sir.
We've given away a Spear Family album, a Happy Goodman album, and there was one more we gave away in day one. The Inspirations, an autographed Inspiration album, and we'll let you talk about those in just a second. But we're also going to talk about a little bit about the Hall of Fame today and who Jeff and I say ought to get in the Hall of Fame this week. And if you listened to our show last week, some people thought, I got a few complaints. Of course, I get a few complaints every week, so I know we're getting out there, that I was hard on Arthur. Did you listen to the show last week, Jeff, by chance?
I did not. I'm sorry I did not.
No, so when we started the show, we had the sound on from Michigan, and I said, Arthur, who's getting in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. You sure you don't know Arthur? And my wife even looked at me when she listened to this. She said, you're badgering that man. I'm not badgering that man. I'm giving him a hard time because he's the president of Southern Gospel Music Association Hall of Fame. So if anybody's got a lead on something, then he's got a lead on something, wouldn't you expect?
That's right.
That's
absolutely
right. So anyway, we'll talk about the Hall of Fame some. Then we're going to talk about a little special trip that you're going to be taking. But before we go any further, condolences go out to the man in Red Sox. He passed away earlier today. Darryl Stewart, former pianist with the Florida Boys, went home to be with the Lord. And, Jeff, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, my thought, I always loved Darryl's style of playing to begin with, all the way back from the early 50s when he was with the Gospel Rhythm Quartet out of Alabama, and he's just a solid quartet guy, and you know, one of everybody's favorite personalities in gospel music because of his antics on stage. You know, the guy just liked to have a lot of fun. So that's my memories of Darryl.
You know, he was described as a light-hearted member of well-balanced singing personalities for the Florida Boys. And that's how Billy Todd wrote about him, the Mr. Big Bass from Sylacauga, Alabama, you know. And you think about some of the folks that Darryl Stewart played for, Billy Todd, Glenn Allred, Coy Cook, Les Beasley, just tons of folks. And do you remember that, you know, we'll leave this alone for just a second, but what's the comedian, the guy that plays the piano and bass, and Tim Lovelace. He helped him out on the piano there for a while with the Florida Boys when Darryl was sick one time. So,
yeah.
Anyway, our prayers go out to Darryl and all the former members of the Florida Boys, and I'm sure Les has got him playing in a gospel group already on this side, on the other side of heaven. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, man, we said we was going to talk a little records today, and you are a album aficionado. You know, and you said this today as we started the show. You said gospel music albums are making a comeback. Why do you think that is?
That's a good question. I started collecting in the early 80s, and back then there was no internet, there was nothing like that. Everything was done by mail order. I'd get catalogs in the mail from different gospel record dealers, and that's the way you did business back then. And never thought about that it would, you know, with eBay and that, the albums are a lot easier to find now than they were back then, because it's eBay and the internet's kind of watered down the whole system. But I don't know.
What's the most? How do I say this? You know, in baseball, if you get a Babe Ruth card, a Ty Cobb card, you're gold. You know, and
the Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail. What's the Holy Grail?
I would say amongst us serious collectors, it would be an album by the Plainsman Quartet from around 1959-1960 called Songs of Inspiration. And it was a the vinyl was red in color, and it's just a great music on the album, but it's very difficult to find. And that would probably be the Holy Grail amongst serious collectors.
Now, I've heard contrary, cuz I can pick on you on this. I heard there's a Statesman number 9 album out there that people
109.
Yeah, what's that
Statesman
all about?
It's a 78 RPM, and it is never it was listed in a catalog years ago. Yeah. But nobody's ever seen it. So since nobody's ever seen it, you know, we question whether it even exists or not. So that's always a question up in the air. If you find 109.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
Have you ever?
And nobody. I've never talked to anybody that's seen it. So.
All right. So let's break this down. Okay. What if somebody wanted to start collecting gospel music albums today? Where should they start? What would you do if you were them?
I would start with the Blackwoods and Statesmen.
Yeah.
The Blackwood Brothers albums are so plentiful, and the main reason for that was James Blackwood was such a great that guy could sell albums like nobody's business.
Yeah.
You know, for years they traveled as the gospel quartet team with the Statesmen, but the Blackwood Brothers always outsold the Statesmen at albums because of James Blackwood.
Yeah.
He was a great salesman.
Yeah.
And once James left the group, Cecil took over, and he was a great salesman. So it's like there's just Blackwood Brothers albums all over the place. So they're very plentiful. It's great music, you know. Blackwood Statesman. What's better than that? You know.
Does it matter? Does it matter with the album? I'm sitting here looking at a Statesman album from RCA Camden. Okay.
Right.
It's a Statesman with Hovey Lister. Stop looking, listen for the Lord. Yellow
right.
album about three pictures says CAL 663. Does these markings on here make a big difference, Jeff, when you're looking at these albums?
As far as RCA is concerned, RCA Victor was their main, you know, the top-of-the-line albums of the day. They sold for the most. The Camden albums were budget-line albums. So if you went to a concert, you might pay $4 for a stereo Victor album, whereas you'd pay $2 for a Camden.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of times, a lot of the song releases on the Camden albums were re-releases of prior material. So you might, on that one Camden album, you might have Denver Crumpler singing tenor on a song, you might have Cat Freeman singing tenor on a song, or you might have Rosie Roselle singing tenor on a song. So, that's the way.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's the way the Camden and the Victors work on RCA. So
I'm sitting here looking at this Camden album right now, okay? And as I'm looking at it, I'm reading the back of it. And I want to read you a statement that's on the back of this album and then transpose it to today's time and tell me what people would say. We believe in a religion that makes people happy. This statement by Hovey Lister could sum up the impact of the Statesman and could well explain the massive following this group has built. You know what? Here's what I'm noticing about these old albums, and here's what I'm noticing about these older groups. They were about encouragement, were they not? I mean, he says it right here. We believe in a religion that'll make people happy. Now, Jeff, I'm not going to push you in a corner, but I bet some folks this day and time wouldn't necessarily agree with that. What do you think?
Oh, there's a lot of unhappy Christians, I would think. And Hovey, you know, he always liked to have a good, you know, he was serious on stage, but he liked to have a good time, too, and he liked for his group to come out and put on a good show.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, he could preach a half-hour sermon on the stage at the same time in the same concert. So,
right.
You know,
And you know something else they did on these albums, Jeff, that I'm noticing and looking at them? And this is RCA Camden, CAL663, Stop, Look, and Listen for the Lord by the Statesman with Hovey Lister, is they advertised other albums on the back of their albums. Did you notice that? And it wasn't
Camden.
And it wasn't just gospel albums. Beyond the Sun with Stuart Hamblin, you know.
Yep. You might see Red Foley or George Beverly Shea
Who is John McCormick? Does that name ring a bell?
I've heard it. I couldn't tell you what genre.
The only reason I say that is because there's an RCA Camden record on the back of here. John McCormick sings sacred music, you know.
Oh.
So anyway, let's go to the next one in my stack. Jeff, you ready for this one?
Yes, sir.
You're going to like this one. Good Times with the Happy Goodmans on Canaan Records. You know what I'm talking? You know the album I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Looks kind of like Hee Haw, does it not?
Yeah.
It's even got our friend Rick Goodman's picture on the front cover. Might be the only thing Rick's ever been on by himself on the front cover. Not bad. Not bad for a drummer. You know, great songs like I'm Living in Canaan Now, Born to Die, I Don't Want to Get Adjusted, The Lifeboat, He Set Me Free, Talk About Good Times, God Walks the Dark Hills, Without Christ, The Eastern Gate, The Beauty of Heaven. You collected albums. How are Goodman albums received?
Well, once again, they sold a lot of albums, so they're not that hard to find.
Yeah.
And, a lot of the songs you just mentioned were on that one album there were big hits for the Goodmans. You know, God Walks the Dark Hill, The Eastern Gate, I mean, Lifeboat. Those were all huge hits for the Goodmans at the time. So, but as far as rare, them being rare, they're not rare, but, you know, a lot of people want them naturally because there's a lot of Goodman fans out there.
There are a lot of Goodman. Anytime I make a post on the Goodmans, and tell folks about your website, your Facebook site too, Jeff. But anytime I make a post on the Goodmans on Southern Gospel News Podcast, we get hundreds of likes, hundreds of likes. Is that the same thing that happens to you on your Facebook page?
Yeah, and, you know, I posted a picture the other day of, I'm sure you saw it, of Howard and Vesta when they were very young and newly married. And I think that thing got over like 500 likes. But, people love Howard and Vestal, that's
people
for sure.
People love Howard and Vestal. That was on that one there was on Canaan. Tell everybody a little bit about Canaan Records.
It was a subsidiary of Word Records out of Texas, you know, Marvin Norcross.
Right.
And
out of Waco, Texas, if you will.
Or Waco, yes.
Yeah.
And it started around 1964, I believe, in there. And, you know, a lot of the top groups of the day signed with Canaan, Florida Boys, Goodmans, Harvesters, Couriers, several different groups. Wow. Top groups of the day, and it's just a very popular label from the mid '60s all the way up into the '80s.
Wow, I'm looking at an album, Jeff, off of Word Records. Let me give you some of the titles on this album, and then you tell me where it came from. Okay, a little trivia question. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have some fun here. Side one has More Than Wonderful by Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Song number two on this album, Step Into the Water by the Cathedrals.
Mm-hmm.
Song number three, Scott Wesley Brown's He Will Carry You. Song number four, I'm Walking, Bob Bailey. Song number five, why do I keep saying step? Why don't you interrupt me and tell me you're messing this up, Darren, this whole show. Song number five, More Power to You, by a group called Petra. Do you know who Petra is by chance?
I do.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Song number six, Great is the Lord, Michael W. Smith. Song number seven, Because of Who You Are, the Imperials. Song number eight, Upon This Rock, Sandy Patty. Song number nine, He's Still Working on Me by the Hemp Hills. And song number 10, We Will Stand by Russ Tapp. What album wow. is that off of? You got any idea?
I don't know, but it just you got Christian rock, you got Christian contemporary, you got Southern gospel, you got quite a wide variety on it. I couldn't tell you offhand exactly the album.
This is how times have changed, okay? Now, it's the year, it's the year 2020 now, okay?
Yeah,
this album's 37 years old from 1983. The Gospel Music Association's top 10 songs of 1983. What about
that's
that?
That's quite a variety. Quite a variety, isn't it?
And if you think about it, back in 83, the only artist on this CD that was probably true Southern gospel in the sense that we know it was the Hemp Hills. He's Still Working on Me. And the Cathedrals was Step Into the Water, okay?
Yeah.
But to
yeah.
show you in life how we've progressed, okay? This Sandy Patty and Larne O'Harris, More Than Wonderful, that would be considered Southern gospel today, perhaps?
Yeah, yeah.
The Imperials, because of Who You Are, would be considered Southern gospel.
Yeah.
And then getting close, this would be considered progressive gospel. Sandy Patty's Upon This Rock and Russ Tapp's We Will Stand.
Yeah.
And then there's an outside chance He Will Carry You by Scott Wesley Brown and I'm Walking by Bob Bailey. The only song that I can, with only two, well, Great is the Lord and Michael W. Smith could be considered. The only song on this album that is hardcore, nowhere near Southern gospel, was the rock group Petra, More Power to You.
Right.
So,
right.
I wonder you know what? They're trying to reach a broad cross section before SGNP was ever invented. What about that, Jim?
Yeah, evidently so.
Which brings me to my next question, and let me pull this album out and find where it is because I had it in my hand just a second ago. What is the Jim? What do you think is the most the album that sold the most? Well, I mean, of all the albums that you can think of, what's one that you know just sold a bunch of albums?
The Blackwood Brothers On Tour live from Long Beach, California in 19, I believe it came out in 61. Has to be right up there. I mean, that's got to be one of the top-selling albums of all time, especially being a Blackwood Brothers album, like what I said about James Blackwood before. But then, you know, it had that song, The Old Country Church, on it, which J.D. wrote back then, was probably their most popular song they've ever sung.
Wow.
Or at least one of them. So that one comes to mind right off the bat.
Now, what's the value on that album if somebody went in their attic and found that album?
Well, you know what? Back when I started collecting, I think I paid $30, $35, $40 for the thing.
Yeah.
And now you could probably get it for $10.
In other words, what you're telling folks is those gospel albums, even though we're doing a show on it, they probably aren't worth the money that you think they are, huh?
Well, some of the ultra rare ones, yes. But like I said before, the whole thing's been watered down by the internet, and they're just easier to find these days than they used to be. Like I said, everything used to be mail order, and so. Yeah, they're not in general. No, they're not. Not
right.
What I wish they were that cheap now, considering what I had to pay for them when I collected.
There you go. All righty, I'm going to ask you a trivia question, okay?
All right.
And it's got to do with Wally Filer and the Oak Ridge Quartet. All righty.
Yeah. Yes.
This comes off an album titled Big Gospel Records. Do you know who that brand is? Big Gospel Records. Have you ever heard of this?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes.
There is a movie with two very, very famous secular stars being promoted on the front of this Wally Filer, May the Lord Bless You Real Good album and the Oak Ridge Quartet. Do you know who those two people are?
I probably will once you name them, but off the top of my head, I don't.
Susan Hayward and Dean Martin. And Dean Martin.
Yeah, 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 I do remember now.
Why was Susan Hayward and Dean Martin on the front of a gospel album?
Wally Filer, he had all kinds of gimmicks, you know.
Yeah.
he was quite the salesman too.
Yeah.
And you know, with the promoting all the all night sings that he had.
Yeah.
He had a lot of gimmicks for that too. So that would be my guess. It had something to do with Wally Fowler's way of thinking.
and we'll mention this in just a second. But song number four, that great big feeling on the back of this album. Guess who the publishing company was? You ready for this?
Who's that?
BG's Publishing. I wonder if that's the same BG's that did Stayin' Alive back in the day. You know, Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got Dean Martin and Susan Hayward on the front. You got BG's Publishing on the back. And you got a man that owned all the that got the rights once he quit gospel music promoting. Got all the rights for what fast food restaurant in the state of Florida? Do you remember?
No.
Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's where Wally made all his money. Was it Kentucky Fried Chicken? Yeah. He owned a bunch of Kentucky Fried Chickens back in the day. If somebody sent you one album today, other than that Plainsman album we talked about, what album would you be looking for?
I would say probably... You know, one of my favorite albums of all time is an album by the Cathedral Quartet, the original group from 1965 or 6, called Greatest Gospel Hits on the Scripture label.
Yeah.
One of the finest albums I ever heard. If you get a chance to listen to that album or acquire it, the music on it is incredible. Danny Coker on the piano is crazy. And that's just one of my all-time favorite albums. I'm a big fan of album covers, too.
Yeah.
I love the pictures. I love the cover art. I love the backliner notes. A lot of times you can read about the group on the back, the members, why they made that album.
Yeah.
So you can't, like a CD, you generally don't get that type of thing.
Well,
and I've always been a big fan of covers.
As you look, since we're talking about covers, and as I'm looking at Hovey Lister and the Statesman's covers from his day with Skylight Records in the late 60s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These have to be some of the most colorful colors I have ever seen, okay? Thanks to Calvary, Hovey Lister and the Statesman with the Skylight Strings. You know what album I'm talking about here?
Yes, sir. 1969,
the year I was born. How about this one here? This one here looks like, and I know we're doing a radio show, so folks, we'll put pictures of these albums online so you can see them. The Common Man, Hovey Lister and the Statesman. A lot of color in this album. That almost looks like he's trying to mimic the Imperials, does it not? Back in the day.
Yeah, a little bit.
Back in the day.
You know,
go ahead.
If you go back a little farther, back into the late 50s, early 60s, Skylight covers were very glossy on the front.
Yeah.
They had a nice gloss to them, and, man, they just shine. Skylight covers are my favorite covers of all time.
What happened?
They're just fantastic.
Who took over Skylight? Did Kanenbaum? Who took over Skylight? Do you know?
Well, you know, it was Blackwood Statesman Enterprises at the beginning, and they sold the company to a fellow by the name of Joel Gentry. And he ran it for quite a while. And after that, I think Skylight Sing might have combined together, and then it kind of phased out. So in the 80s.
Well, my favorite album, and it's probably the only one I won't give away from this group, is from Heartwarming Records. Do you know who Heartwarming Records were in Nashville, Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
Benson.
Yep, the Kingsmen Chattanooga Live.
Oh yeah.
And I've heard a lot about that concert, but I mean, it's a great album with songs like "The Lovely Name of Jesus," "When They Call My Name," "Is That the Old Ship of Zion," "Standing on the Solid Rock," you know, "Learning to Lean," "I Must Tell Jesus the Song." It's got about 8 songs on it, but a couple of them were done a couple of different times. And it features the late, great Jim Hamill, Ray Dean Reese, Little Ernie Phillips, last year's Hall of Fame guy, Squire Parsons, and Eldridge Fox. What a lineup right there. And it was produced.
Yeah.
Guess who it was produced by?
Who's that?
Joe Huffman. You reckon he's any kin to Teddy Huffman?
Nope.
I don't know.
No, for a fact he's not.
He's not? Okay, I just was curious. But he's got, Greg Fox playing the drums, Gary Dillard on the steels, Nick Bruno on the piano, and Eldridge Fox actually is on there. Jim McCauley played the electric piano, but good tape. Good album.
You mentioned The Lovely Name of Jesus. The Kingdom Marriage just re-recorded that album featuring the great Arthur Rice.
Yes, sir.
And, they do a fantastic job on that Squire Parsons song.
Yeah, no doubt. That segues us in because we talked about so many Hall of Famers right there. But real quick, before we go start talking about the Southern Gospel Music Association Hall of Fame, if someone wants to collect albums, Jeff, how should they do it? What should they start doing? Where do they find them? How do they get them? Well, just give us a breakdown.
Well, we got a Aaron Rich has a site on Facebook called Vintage Gospel Music, and it's a sales site, so you can go in there and you could buy albums off of that site, and then naturally eBay.
Right.
That's always a good source. Those two would probably be the best because Aaron, a lot of people post on that Facebook site, so a lot of good stuff turns up on there. I've sold quite a bit off of there myself, and I bought off of there. So that it's called Vintage Gospel Marketplace.
Yeah,
is what it's called.
Can you find them at Goodwill?
If you're lucky, yeah. A lot of people post stuff. I found this at the thrift store and this and that. I haven't been too lucky with that over the years, but every once in a while you'd find some good stuff. But mostly it's just common stuff that you find at the.
Greg, and what should folks expect to pay for each of these albums? You think $5, $2, $20?
At a thrift store, a lot of times you can get them for a quarter, 50 cents a piece.
Yeah.
Which is, if you're starting out, there ain't nothing wrong with that. And, you get on this vintage site and, it depends on what it is. You're going to pay maybe $8 to $15 a piece for them,
And
so that ain't bad.
No, and if they're sealed with the plastic still on them, they're a lot better. Is that the way it works?
Yeah. Sealed album's going to sell for more. So, say a near mint album, you maybe pay $10 for a seal when you might pay $20 or $25 for. So it generally might double, or a little bit higher than that, double the value.
I'm looking at one right now, and you're going to laugh at this. You may have seen this. It's Get On Board with the Dixie Echoes.
Uh-huh.
And the guys are standing out next to an Amtrak train waving at the Amtrak train, and they've all got blue suits on. You know what album I'm talking about?
Yeah.
From
Supreme
Records. Well, up in the right-hand corner of this photo is an African-American gentleman looking out the window of the train.
Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon that fella ever knew he was on an album cover?
Not likely.
Could you imagine that? We find ourselves on the album cover. Hey, we said we were going to talk about the Hall of Fame. And folks, for you that don't know, the Hall of Fame nominations went out earlier this year. And you can nominate two living and two deceased members of the gospel music community. Now, last year, voted in was Ernie Phillips. He made it. Along with Reuben Bean, the late Jackie Wilburn. And who else was the fourth one last year? Gerald Wolfe. That's right, Gerald Wolfe. That were your four last year.
Right.
What are you thinking this year, Jeff? What's your thought process on this? You get two living and two deceased. What are you going with?
Well, I had a deceased one that didn't get in last year, so I'm going to stick with him, and that's Cecil Blackwood.
Yeah.
To me, there's no more deserving person than – it's kind of hard for me to believe he's not in already, but
why is that? Tell me that. Why is Cecil not in? I mean, there's a story behind it, and I'm not saying that Jeff come up with this story, but Jeff knows the story, so share it with us, Jeff. Everybody, I mean, this is hearsay, folks. This isn't fact, but this is just hearsay. Why is Cecil not in there?
you know, it's just that I think over the years, for whatever reason, he rubbed some people the wrong way in the business, and they never got over it. And I think that's the main reason. I won't get into it, but I think that's the main reason. And but as far as his, you know, accomplishments, I mean, being with the Blacker Brothers all them years, taking over for his brother who died in a plane crash in 1954, and all throughout the 60s with the Blackwoods and Statesmen, then, you know, he took over the group in the early 70s once James had some health issues. And, you know, I mean, it's the Blackwood Brothers and the leader of the Blackwood Brothers for a long time, so I don't think anybody could argue that. But I talked to Mark Blackwood quite often. He's like, get my dad in the Hall of Fame. I said, well, I can't do it by myself.
Well, you're doing a good job today. You're promoting him real good today. So, who else you got? Who else you got, Jim?
My living member is Roy McNeil, mm-hmm. who sung with the Prophets back in the 60s. That was the main group he sung for. And then back in the late 60s, he sung tenor for J.D. Sumner and the Stamps for a little while. So, I mean, the guy had a great range, great song stylist. Oh, and he was a member of the original Rangers Trio back in the early 60s, who made some of the finest recordings ever made. And the guy just had an unbelievable range. He could sing lead. He could sing tenor. Great voice control. And so he would be one of my living members.
Yeah. Who else you got?
After those two, I got to come up with two more, and I'm.
Well, let me go ahead and throw you two out there while you're thinking of two other ones. Okay.
All right.
My deceased member is a man who took his family group, and they ought to be the poster child for what you call part-time, full-time circuit riding gospel music groups, because mm-hmm. not only did they handle their own bookings, they handled their own records. They were extremely popular. They were extremely profitable. And I have never met a gospel group, no matter what format, that didn't enjoy these people. And that's Hubert Cook with the Singing Cooks. Okay?
All right.
Hubert was one of a kind. Always had that purple, always had a bright-colored jacket on. Before bright-colored jackets were made popular at Sears and for car dealers, always, you know what I'm talking about? He always had that.
Yeah.
He was building brand before brand was there, okay? And
right.
I love the story of when the Cooks got started and they cut their first tape. Have you heard this? Where they got them a little cassette recorder, and they plugged a microphone out the side of the old-timey cassette recorders. You know what I'm talking about? There was a brand-new cassette recorder in the 70s, and they plugged the microphone in the side, and they ran the microphone cord through the family Bible on the coffee table, okay?
Wow.
Like this was going to help, but apparently it did because they sang for a long time. And him and and him and Mama Cook sang songs and made a tape, and then they started duplicating them and selling them. And they did that all over the hills of East Tennessee and Western North Carolina and Northern Georgia, and then they expanded and expanded. But, you know, I think if I'm correct, talking to Dwayne Guerin and yourself, I don't think they ever made it out to Missouri or any of those parts. They may have, but can you remember the Singing Cooks ever coming out that way?
No, sir. I don't.
Well, I'd love to see Hubert Cook in there for all those weekend warriors and groups that are out there. Never had a number one song, but everybody knows Ain't No Grave's Gonna Hold My Body Down. You know, I wonder, there's a girl out there that's cut that on the Contemporary label, okay?
Really?
And we put it on our Spotify channel, and I bet the Cooks own the rights to that. I bet they're singing very, very happily today because that song Ain't No Grave's been doing on Contemporary. It's been played on K-Love and WayFM and Fish all across the country now. So, it's amazing. I was sitting there listening to Contemporary Radio, and they start doing, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. I'm thinking, what is going on here? Am I listening to the right station? My second nominee, my living nominee to the Hall of Fame, it's probably going to be controversial to some, okay? But I think this man has sang gospel music in front of as many people that you can sing it in front of. He hadn't sung at the National Quartet Convention since the early 70s. He sings in front of 5 to 20,000 people every night he sings. He's in one of the most beloved groups in America. He sang at President George W. Bush's funeral not too long ago. And that's Dwayne Allen of the Oak Ridge Boys. And let me say this. Let me say this about Dwayne. He loves gospel music. I've never met the man. I've never talked to the man. I've only seen the man talk on social media, and I've only talked to friends like Kelly Nealon and other folks who know him personally. But he loves gospel music. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I've talked to him a few times, and you are correct there. He's very passionate about the history, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He started singing gospel before he joined the Oak Ridge Boys. Who was he with, Jeff?
The Southern Airs of Paris, Texas. And him and Dave Rogers, who later on sang bass with the Prophets in the 60s, were in that group together. And this was probably in the late 50s is when he started with that group, I would think, somewhere around there.
You know, when you think about the Oak Ridge Boys, a lot of people don't realize this, but Richard Sturban, the bass singer, sang with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps. You know, what part did Richard sing back in those days? Because J.D., of course, sang bass. Where'd Richard
sing? Well, he sung bass, too, but, you know, J.D. wasn't singing all the time back then.
Right.
So Richard would sing most of the set, then J.D. would come out and sing a few songs, you know.
Gotcha.
At the time, J.D. was having vocal problems, you know, and so that's when that started, was when he hired Richard Sturban. Then later on, Larry Strickland performed the same role with
right.
the Stamps.
William Lee Golden with the Oak Ridge Boys, the baritone singer, where'd he sing gospel music at, Jeff? You know?
Prior to the Oak Ridge Boys, he was with a group called the Pilots Trio with his brother and Randy McDaniel, who later on played piano for the Thrasher Brothers.
Wow.
Out of Birmingham. Mm-hmm.
And the tenor singer John Boswell out of Philadelphia, did he sing gospel music at all, or did they just recruit him and sing tenor?
Joe sung with the Faith Four up there up north, northeast. The Faith Four, and then he sung with the Keystones.
Wow.
Who Richard Sturban was also a member of that group.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Fun facts. Those are my two Hall of Fame, living and dead. My other living member would be Kelly Nealon and Clark. Kelly Nealon Clark of the Nealons, good friend. I'll leave it at that with Kelly. She's a tremendous talent and probably the most successful second-generation artist in gospel music history. And that ain't even arguable. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, she's hosted the Dove Awards. She's won multiple awards, favorite female vocalist, and as popular as her dad was, I think her dad would be proud that she has surpassed his popularity, so to speak. Would you agree?
I would think so, yes.
I can't think of it. And matter of fact, that'll lead me to this, telling you this. Jason Clark's supposed to be with us next week, Kelly's husband. Supposed to be a guest on SGMP. He's just got over heart surgery, so keep him in your prayers.
Right.
But he'll be with us. Have you come up with another living or dead deceased artist?
I have another deceased one that came to mind. Asel Seward, who was bass singer back in the started in the early 30s all the way up through he passed away of cancer in the mid 50s, and just one of the JD's favorite bass singer of all time, and a lot of the bass singers from that era will tell you that, you know, this guy was their favorite. Just a very mellow voice and deep, and I mean even his talking voice was fantastic. And he was with several groups back then, the Homeland Harmony. He was supposed to be the original bass singer for the Statesmen.
That was
Hobie's choice. And he had another commitment at the time, so he couldn't come in right away. But I believe a few months after Hobie started the Statesmen, Asel became the original bass singer for the Statesmen. So just a great singer. I'm friends with his daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
And anyway, that would be my second choice for deceased. I'd have to come up with another living.
Maybe, I'm not sure this guy's in or not, okay? But if he's not, he ought to be, okay? And there's two, and They both come out of the Blue Ridge Quartet, okay, that I'm going to pick from the deceased category. Elmo Fogg, okay, the lead singer. I don't know if Elmo's in or not. I need to look that up. Or Fred Daniel, the tenor singer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure on either one. Yeah, so you could go to Southern Gospel Music Association. .com, check that out, and look that fun information up. And we'll corner Arthur in the next week or so and get him to quote us who is in the Hall of Fame. You want to make it in the Hall of Fame. Easy there enough, Jeff?
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, man, I said today we were going to throw out something that you've managed to do through being the gospel music historian and purveyor of photos on the Internet and through your Facebook site, and I'll let you tell the story. I don't want to steal your thunder. Can you do that for us?
My big trip I'm getting ready to go on soon?
Yeah, yes, your big trip you're getting ready to go on soon. Because you're going to come back on and tell everybody about that. You know that, don't you?
Okay. I contacted Mr. Bill Gaither back in January. I explained to him who I was, not that I'm anybody, but what I do. And Bill's got a passion for the history of gospel music too, and very much so. And so I wrote him a letter. I said, I'd like to meet with you and get together and discuss gospel music history and see some of your photos. I could share some photos with you and we could just talk and chat. And so not really expecting a response, I was glad to come home one day from work and there was a card on my my nightstand here that had come in the mail that day, and opened it up, and it on the front. Well, I saw the address was from Alexandria, Indiana, so I knew where it was from, and it was a handwritten letter from Bill saying that he'd like to meet with me, and he's looking forward to chatting. And I mentioned some that I had looked into his studied his early history in gospel music, as far as the groups he was with, even before the trio. And so I think that kind of got his guy's attention right off the bat and mentioned some names. And so I'm supposed to possibly meet with him next month.
Nice.
Or early April, whenever he could work it. I talked to his personal assistant about a week ago, and she said his schedule so booked up with not only, concerts and tours and stuff like that, but recording the videos and that, and so it's naturally kind of hard to get in to see him, but hopefully that will happen within the next 6 weeks or so.
Well, you're going to take a picture with him, ain't you?
Oh yeah.
I'm giving you a hard time. I'm giving you a hard time, Jeff. I'm giving you a hard time. So if somebody wants to study more about gospel music and they want to become a quote-unquote historian like yourself, how do they do it? You tell us.
Well, I'll tell you what. David Bruce Murray has a site on the Internet, and it's called SouthernGospelHistory.com. And if you get on there, and you could scroll down to the different groups, or you can go by individual. You can even hit on the – he's got song titles on there, who they were written by, who recorded those songs, what year – it's a very, very good site for information. I've learned quite a bit off of it.
Nice.
And David and I are good friends, and I've contributed a few things to his site too. So that would be where I'd start, because it gives you all the recordings. A lot of times it gives you pictures of the albums on there that you can punch on. It gives you the group members, when they sung with the group. So this is a very extensive site.
Gotcha.
For Southern gospel history. So that's where I'd start.
Well, one other thing before we get out of here, Jeff, and we got to move along, get out of here. We're in political season right now. As everybody knows, there's a Democratic primary going on and a Republican primary going on. Back in the old days, these artists that were in gospel music were very politically active, so to speak. I mean, you even had governors like Jimmy, what's his name, down in Louisiana?
Jimmy
who?
Davis.
Jimmy Davis. Sing You Are My Sunshine. I mean, Big political activist. Who was some of the bigger gospel artists who were very involved in politics that you were
The statesmen, they you know, I've seen a lot of pictures of them with governors and even the Blackwood brothers,
yeah.
Governor of Memphis and or of Tennessee, and the Sons of Song, Wally Fowler. That would be the ones that would come to mind right off the top of my head.
Wow, CS Evangelicals have been causing problems for 70 years. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Yep.
You ever thought about it like that?
Nope, but we're trouble.
We've got a long history, a long, long history of driving folks crazy. Well, Jeff,
go ahead. A lot of those groups campaigned, you know, went on the campaign with some of those guys.
Well, you know, we had people can go back and listen to our interview with Ray Dean Reese, where he talks about the Kingsmen singing on the front lawn of the White House when Jimmy Carter was the president up there.
It was
the Kingsmen, the Happy Goodman family, and who was the other group up there at the time? Do you recall?
I've even got the picture. Spear Family?
Yeah.
Was it?
I think so. I think there was three or four up there that sang. But anyway, I cannot imagine Jim Hamill at the White House. I mean, maybe with Donald Trump. Yep. Maybe with Donald Trump. I mean, him and Donald would get along good. They really, truly would.
Absolutely.
All righty, my man. Hey, real quick, I'm going to ask you this question before we get out of here. If there was ever a person that you would have wished to have seen be a member of the Blackwood Brothers, who would it have been and why?
Oh, boy. That's a good one, Darren.
Yeah.
You put me on the spot here.
I know it. That's what we do.
Who and why? Man, I mean, they had so many great performers over the years, it's hard to...
Who didn't sing with them that you wish had a song sung with them once or been a part of the quartet with the Blackwoods?
Well, I would say Cat Freeman, but Cat was with them in the late 40s. He wasn't with them that long, but I've always been a, you know, I'm a Cat Freeman nut, so.
Right. You know, nobody but a gospel fan would understand that. If you walked out in the general public in your day job and said, I'm a Cat Freeman nut, they would think, okay, who is this guy? Okay. You know, here's who I think. Ivan Parker would have made a great Blackwood brother. Okay?
Yeah.
Tall, dark-headed, wear that dark suit, look good up there. What do you think?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Possibly, yeah.
Why not?
I mean, Ivan Parker make any group better.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know.
Not that the Blackwood brothers need a lot of help, but
no.
they're my all-time favorite group, so.
There you go. Jeff, as always, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your history. I appreciate your knowledge. Tell folks once again where they can find your website.
Southern Gospel Memories and Pictures. And been posting some rare stuff up there lately that, you know, I mean, even a lot of the hardcore members of my page are kind of fascinated at that I've been fortunate enough to find. So there's always new content almost daily, so.
There you go.
There's a little something for everybody, all the way from the 20s on up to 2000. So you're likely to find something you'd like to see.
Southern Gospel Memories and Pictures, and that's on Facebook. That's not a website, but that's on Facebook, and you can join. And what's your, just so people don't get upset when they go there and they got to join, you got a few rules you like for folks to follow when they get on there. What are they?
Yeah, we don't allow videos of any kind. We got a sister site for that called Southern Gospel Memories and Videos. No political ads, no kind of concert advertisement or self-promoting type of thing. So if you can follow those rules, you'll remain a member.
There you go. And thanks to all the folks that have been carrying our album giveaway. We'll be doing this album giveaway for the next 15 days, and we've got something coming out from SGNP called the Blessing Box. And I will let you guess at what the Blessing Box is, but you can only get it from SGNP. Got any ideas what the blessing box is, Jeff?
Probably something to do with funds.
What's that?
Something to do with money.
Something to do with money. Yes, 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 yes. It has something to do with money. Hey, yeah. So anyway,
money is a blessing, isn't it?
Money is a blessing, but what comes in the box is a bigger blessing. How about that?
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Yep.
Jeff, I'm going to ask you the same thing I ask Arthur every week before we get out of here. What's wrong with living right anyway?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And
yeah.
The last time you asked me that, I blew it.
I know it. So what's wrong with living right anyway?
Nothing at all.
No, there you go.
What's the correct answer?
not one thing. There you go. You've been listening to Southern Gospel News Podcast with my co-host today and my good friend, historian Jeff Turner. We'll talk to you next week right here on SGNP.
SGNP is brought to you by Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. For more information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Taranda. What's wrong with living right anyway?
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com.
To advertise your products, services, concert event, or new project on SGNP and reach a 100% guaranteed number of people in your area, call Tim Newton at 770-874-3200 or email him today, tnewton@bgadgroup.com. Let us geo-target our ads for you, something radio nor magazine can do.